Bam! I'm here. Hey, guys, what's up? Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome to the show. We got a good show today. I got my buddy in here, Mike Cunningham. We're going to talk some track today, guys. But before I do, you know what I got to do before every show? I got to give my shout-outs, all right? I got to give my shout-outs to my guys over there at Trackborn. If you need any apparel, spikes, anything you need, holler at my guys over there. They also are they're doing an AAU bag giveaway right now. So make sure you go on their social media platforms to get registered for that. Also, shout out to my guys over there at TTFCA. Make sure you get registered for the Meet of Champions. It's going to be on MileSplit. Just go to MileSplit, put that in. It's going to get you registered. Also, y'all been seeing me with the Icy Breeze. Make sure y'all get your Icy Breeze buddy before it heats up in the summer. This is going to be a portable mist and fan. You can cool those athletes off after the race, cool the team off. Also, cool yourself off. Also, we have an air conditioning cooler. It's a bigger product than that. Go to the description, and if you want more information, go ahead and look that up. My guy, Mike, what's going on? Let's get him in here.
Sorry, I'm hydrating because I had the craziest thing happen to me today. It put me back in training mode. I don't know if you heard this, Vance, but I had somebody call me out on Twitter today and challenged me to a 60 race. We're still, I think we're finalizing it's gonna be 60 meters. I just couldn't believe the disrespect that came at me on Twitter this morning.
Hey, you know, well, hey, it is what it is. And all I can tell you, Mike, I already been working out. I was on that row machine this morning. Hey, I did a minute strong on there, full pulls, you know. Hey, are you ready? Are you ready?
No. The good news is January 2025. At the TTFCA Winter Clinics, that's when it's going to go down. Someone asked if we were going to stream it, and I was like, "You know who you're talking to, right? I mean, Mr. Streamer, we're going multicasting this thing. I got inside connections to the Paul camp. You know, the Logan Paul or Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight. I got connections. I might get this on pay per view, man. I don't know.
Hey, we need it. We need it all.
Yeah." Yeah, only you and I would sign up for pay-per-view, so we probably should just keep this streaming on IG and Twitter and all that. So,
and you know what? Shout out to everybody on Twitter. Well, hold on, X. Sorry about that. Y'all been going crazy right now. We appreciate the post, and make sure y'all get out there. It's going to be live stream, too, if you can't make it. Chime in, but who you got? Who you going with?
Hey, so I didn't even talk to you about this, but I thought as long as everything's legal, and I think it should be, I think you and I should put $100 on it. But now listen, I got a caveat because we got enough money. We don't need the bet. I'm just a gambler at heart, so that's why I want to do it.
Yeah.
And the winner gets to pick where the loser's $100 goes.
Okay.
Charity of your choice, a school program of your, a track program of your choice, Special Olympics, AAU, I will be naming where your $100 will be going. You down with that?
Mike, what's your time right now in 100, Mike? What's your time right now? What's your time, Mike? I'm not talking about a hand time. I'm gonna need an electronic time because you know hand times don't count around here.
I'm looking for my calendar. Because that's probably how it's measured right now. But it's March, man. I got time. Let me tell you what. I got time. Let me tell you this. You're going to know what's going to happen because I'm going to put video on Twitter as we go along. You're going to see. That's all I'm going to say, man. Like I said, all you're going
to. Wait, hey, Mike, we don't do a lot of talking down here in Texas. We just line it up. That's all I can tell you. Well, hey, we gonna line it up, Mike. We gonna line it up. Hey, make sure y'all follow me and Mike. Follow me on X. Follow Mike on X. He's also on Instagram, so y'all can see those videos as well. But who y'all got? Put it in the comments. Who y'all going with? Hey, you got to go with Texas, baby. We all about speed down here. All right. So, Mike, so if you don't know who Mike is, he's the national, hold on 1 second, I got it here. Is a national business developer of Gills Athletics. He also has a podcast. he's the host Gills Connection podcast. He loves track coaches. So if you're a track coach, look him up on X, hit that follow button, DM him so you can get on this show. Mike, can you tell us a little bit about your podcast? And after that, I have a coach I want to recommend to you for your show as well.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for this opportunity. You know, the podcast, the Gill Connections podcast, is now in its fifth season, which is still just boggling to say out loud. We started actually right before COVID, so January of 2020. And our goal was to create a platform where we could uplift and honor coaches around the world, literally the world. And so, you know, when I started, I had I really wanted to strive that this wasn't going to be a Division I track and field coach interview. It wasn't going to be just Power Five. Now, we got plenty of Power Five and Division I coaches there, but I am really dedicated to having high school coaches, club coaches, junior college coaches, NAIA Division I, Division II, Division III. And from time to time, we'll have people kind of behind the scenes, if you will, of track and field, people that are doing something in our sport that I think people should know about, that, you know, this world doesn't just run with coaches and athletes. We need officials, TV people, things like that. So, we just have a blast over there. What we do is we interview that coach and we discuss their entire journey, how they got into coaching, mentors along the way, lessons learned, why'd they go from this school to that school, what's got them excited. We don't talk about X's and O's. There's a lot of other great places, including your show right here, that talks about, you know, training type stuff. We talk about the person who chose to be a track coach. And man, I'm in season 5, having an absolute blast. Can't see, unlike our race, I can't see a finish line on this one. It's going to be, it's the proverbial marathon.
Okay. Oh, shots fired. Okay.
Don't forget, you started this. I'm just saying.
Hey, and I'm going to finish it.
No.
Man. I'm going to finish it. So how can, if a coach want to come on your show, Mike, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah. So the only way that we're taking guests starting today, really starting here recently, is recommendation. Someone has to nominate you for the show. It's just, it's overwhelming. We do one show a week. So that means I get 52 shows a year. That seems like a lot, and it's a lot of work. But there are thousands of coaches. Everybody who coaches track and field at any level deserves this uplifting and honoring. I truly, truly believe that. So it's going to take a long time for me to get every track coach. So if you are nominated for the show, I have a running list that I keep I'll make my way through. I've had guys that were nominated three and a half years ago that are just now getting on the show again, because it's just scarcity of the number of episodes. So, hey, and by the way, I would like, if you'll permit me here, a little bit of a promotion here for the podcast.
Yeah, go ahead.
Really excited about this, and I think it's going to be big. Starting April 2nd, so gosh, 10-ish days from now, I wanted to find out more about high school track and field state meets, public versus private schools, how many classes, how do you qualify? Is it regionals, sectionals, state, you know, all these kind of things? What events do you run? Because that's different in every state. Do you have a meet of champions? I went out and interviewed one high school coach from every state in the country and even Washington, D.C. And we talk about 20 to 30 minutes roughly, and we're going to air those episodes one a day starting April 2nd all the way through May. It's a lot of fun. I learned so much. I thought Texas was the only state that doubled up relay points. I learned that's not true. I learned about a couple of states that have the shuttle hurdle relay for the state meet. We talked about how many states have the javelin, states that have the hammer, states that have meet of champions. And I'm going to finally settle the debate. The last question that I asked every one of these coaches was, when you qualify for the state meet, did you qualify for state or did you qualify for states? I'm going to end the debate. We're going to figure out. We got 51 people who have voted on this, essentially. And so I'm going to end the debate. We're going to find out if it's state or states. But that starts April 2nd, one a day, every day until the end of May. And I think it's going to be I had an absolute blast recording it. So I think people are going to really enjoy this special series that we're doing.
Man, that man, Mike, that's awesome, man. And that, and I appreciate what you do. I appreciate what you do because you bring a a lot of attention to track and field as well. I say it all the time, you know, track and field, we don't get the promotion like football, basketball or anything like that. But I appreciate what you do. I appreciate it. And Mike, number one goal is to have every coach in the world follow him on X.
That's right.
Twitter. you're doing an amazing job, Mike. You're doing an amazing job. So were you surprised with the Christian Coleman versus Noah Lyles outcome?
You know, no. And I say that because if they raced 100 times, the outcome is going to be different every time. I mean, you just got too many good kids, and those guys are really good. And, you know, obviously Christian is just dominant in the 60. Missed having Trayvon out there, to be honest with you. I love seeing that entire matchup. But certainly Noah seems to be on a different level this year. I think I saw right before we went live here, he called out the world record, I think. I think he said he's going to break the 100-meter world record. And I love that. I love that attitude. I love that belief in yourself, and your belief in your coach. So it's exciting. It was exciting races to watch develop through the semis, through the finals, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I, man, because I know they raced once before they raced or twice, and Noah Lyles actually beat him. And I could just see the look on Coleman's face. You know, I'm just like, next time it might be something different next time. But like you say, yeah, they're both great athletes. and I say this all the time also, hey, anybody can be beat. You just never know. You just never know, especially with track and field. It's a unique sport.
And especially with the 60, I mean, you know how precocious the 100 meter is. You know, you make one mistake, that can cost you the race. Well, cut it in half, essentially. You think about making a mistake in the 60 and that can cost you. So it's really an unfair race in that sense that, you know, it's hard to get eight guys, eight gals lined up and everybody runs 60 meters to perfection. Everybody's making mistakes in that. So it's just tough. It really is tough.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for you to lose at the TTFCA.
I was wondering where you were going with that. Look, it is water. It is water.
I'm about to throw that. Mike, water is not going to save you. You can drink all the water in the world, Mike. This water is not going to make you fast, Mike. It's not going to make you fast. All right. Here we go. Here. So the NCAA Indoor Championships as well. Brianna Liston. Have you heard about her? I followed her when she was in high school, and she used to race against the twins all the time over there in Jamaica. She went to LSU. I think she had an injury or something her freshman year or whatever. Because she didn't have a full season. Something went on. Something happened. But she's back now. She's back, and she has been like, man, just like on fire. She actually won the NCAA Indoor Championships with a 7.03. And she can run the 100, too. A lot of sprinters, you see them out there, they're strong at 60 and the 100. It's two different races, right? The 60 and the 100 is two different races. But this young lady here, she's phenomenal at the 100 as well. Did you know about her before the championships?
You know, I didn't, but what's interesting to me is I definitely knew LSU and I know Dennis Shaver, so that doesn't surprise me, right?
Yep.
Now, I do know the young lady in second there, Kayla Jackson.
Yep.
Again, Carol Smith-Gilbert, you know, the coaches, it's interesting how the same coaches perform, their athletes perform at the top level. You know, Dwayne Ross's kid is in there. It's really fascinating. I know they get the good kids. I understand that, but you still have to be better. I guarantee this Brandon Liston didn't run 703 in high school. They still have to be improved here.
So yeah.
These coaches are doing an amazing job. So she beat a great field, right? Kayla Jackson's amazing. Grace Stark, love seeing her back. Love seeing her name back in the finals, man. Love, you know, the things that she's had to overcome. Florida State always puts someone in the finals. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, Kayla Jackson, she's been a good runner. I think she's from Detroit, mm-hmm. Michigan, I believe. I used to watch running AAU a lot, and you know that transition from high school to college, man, it is huge. It's kind of like middle school to high school. But probably like 10 times worse.
Yeah, 100.
Because you got to get used to the workouts. You got to get used to the environment. You might be out of state, mm-hmm. you know, and you haven't been away from home, you know, and, you know, you might be from Texas, but you're going to USC, mm-hmm. right? So you in Cali now. So you got to get used to Cali weather and everything that goes on out there. But like you say, it's been a good transition for, you know, all the athletes and that's major. And I think the parents should talk to the athletes as well, you know, high school athletes about that transition to college. Right. Yeah. I think they need to develop, you know, friendships with people who are already there, call them, see how the campus is, see how practice is, you know, just try to build on it before you get there, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're doing good for sure. Yeah. What do you think about the 400 women? Let me back up. Who do you think the top three?
Yeah, who did well there? I can't remember on the women's side. I know the men, the Georgia kid, because that had its own.
Let's see.
Issues. That's the prelims there, I think.
Is that the prelims?
Yeah,
that's prelims. I kind of gave it away.
Women's 400. You mean Arkansas's whole team? That's what
I kind of gave it away when I.
That's right.
I kind of gave it away when I clicked over there. Let's see where it is. 400. That's prelim. But yeah, Arkansas, they went 1, 2, and 3, man. Are they recruiting quarter horses down there? they've been strong on that 4 for like ever.
Quite a while now. Chris Johnson, who's been on the Gill podcast, does a really amazing job. I think that's kind of his – well, I was going to say I kind of think that's his wheelhouse, but honestly, coaching is his wheelhouse. I truly think if he got forced to coach the Hammer Throwers one day, he'd do a really great job. But really amazing, you know, it's really hard to have one kid. You know, Georgia having the number 4 girl there, Leah Butler, that's hard. That's really hard. 3 of them, man. Come on.
Yeah. Three strong. I was looking at the 4x4. It looked like they got DQ'd on that.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened on that, but yeah, Arkansas, they're strong on that 4. Shout out to Kenesha Phillips down there at IU in the mix. Shout out to her. She's been doing good this season too. But yeah. That's beating Arkansas on the 4 is tough.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of IU, you know, I've told you this on Twitter, but I haven't had a chance to tell you personally. Great job to you, mom, the family. You know, it takes, you know, I think we talked about this before, I believe. You know, I think you and I are both kind of in line that, you know, it takes a village. Yeah. And so a lot of people have poured into your daughter, and what she has accomplished up to this point right now is amazing. I mean, to be able to go to Indiana is a great school. You know, our customer service manager here at Gill was an All-American thrower at Indiana. So I got a lot of respect for IU. So that alone is quite amazing. And it feels like just kind of watching the results from afar, you tell your own story because I'm not in the huddle, so I don't know what's actually going on, but it feels like she has this kind of like weight off of her shoulders now. I'm like, okay, I know where I'm going. I made my decision.
Yeah.
And it's showing in her results, man. Let me tell you what, yeah. I'm much happier that I'm racing. I'm sorry, that I'm beating you in January and that I'm not racing her, because that was no contest. I wouldn't take the bet.
So who you think she got it from, Mike? Who you think she got it from?
I think we
you
should
need to be worried about that.
Or some genetic test to find out. I have my
doubts. Worried. You need to be worried about that, Mike. Yeah, she got it from dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Mike, I appreciate that, man. Yeah. But yeah, it's man, it was the recruiting is tough. It's tough. It's aggressive, it's stressful. The parents and the athletes. Mm-hmm. But all the schools she went to, shout out to all those coaches, man, they're great coaches. She went out there, man, and when she came back, she said it felt like home, you know. And yeah. and that's where she wanna be.
You gotta like that, hearing that as the dad, don't you?
Yeah, man. And everybody I talk to, man, about IU, they just tell me, man, it's an awesome school, man, and a lot of great things going down there. And yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, beautiful campus, awesome academics. And Ed Bethea, another Gil Connections podcast alum, one of the best guys. Like, trust your daughter with him. Like, that's dad 2.0 over there for you, man. A lot of trust in him. So I was really happy when I saw the announcement. I was like, oh, man. Great.
I will tell you, too, when she got contacted by IU, guess where I went to research the coach? I went to Gil Connection. I watched the whole thing. Because you interviewed him.
Yeah.
You interviewed Coach Bethea.
I wondered, you know, we're on episode 250, 251. I wondered after a while with our college coaches, I wondered if it would be used recruiting-wise. Like, hey, man, you know, I've got this guy or gal for hour. You know, we go an hour and a half, hour and 45. I'm like, you're getting the real deal with this person. I wondered, and I've heard that story a few times. I've had a couple of dads, parents DM me on Twitter saying, hey, thank you, I listened to Coach so-and-so, made us feel even better about the decision, or things like that. So that's really cool to hear. I appreciate you sharing that.
And I'm glad you get those coaches on there. You talk to them. You ask some really good questions. Of course, I have coaches on here, but it's majority athletes. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that, because I was able to go on there and see what type of person he was.
Yeah.
And he's a great person. Yeah. That's why she's at IU. Yeah. That's why she's going to IU. But yeah, man, that's cool. What's up, Mike. Let's talk about this. I know I'm kind of jumping around on this, but this new long jump rule.
Yeah.
I know you talked to me about it briefly. I haven't been able to research that much. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so I actually kind of was not – I don't want to overstate this and say that I was on the inside, but I had an inside track into this. A few weeks before it was announced, which it was announced on a podcast, by the way. It tells you the power of podcasting. The guy from the World Athletics, I can't remember the name of the podcast, but came on and talked about the long jump rule. But a couple of weeks before that, I had the honor of being the host MC of the Wisconsin Track Coaches Association's track clinic, specifically doing their anniversary dinner. And the keynote speaker for that dinner was the great Willie Banks, triple jump royalty, world record holder, American record holder, also Gil podcast alum. It seems like I've gotten everybody on the show. Not yet. But Willie Banks was the speaker and did a great job, told the story, pumped up the crowd. And at the end, he kind of had a little bit of time for kind of Q&A-ish, if you will. And he talked about he's on the World Athletics Committee that's looking at changes for events. And so some of the events that he talked about something with race walking. I'm afraid I didn't listen very much on that one. Although I have a race walker coming up on the podcast and it blew me away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm sure okay. Pretty dismissive about that event for good or bad. So, so he talked about the race. He said that the World Athletics is considering a men's and women's combined co-ed 4x1. So we have the 4x1 mixed relay. They're 4x4 mixed relay. They're thinking about a 4x1 mixed relay. They're talking about moving the women's implements up. So right now, women do 4K from high school, college, all the way to pro for the shot put. They do 1K for the discus all the way through. They're talking about upping those after NCAAs. What were the other two things? Moving the heptathlon for the women to a decathlon. So those are all kind of things we'd known about. And then he dropped this nugget, and this is where it comes up with the long jump. The way he described it as they were trying to lengthen the long jump board. So right now it's an 8-inch board with a 4-inch foul board. So the way he described it was lengthening the board. So no, he didn't describe any changes with the foul. He just said, yeah, instead of an 8-inch board, they're thinking about going longer. He says, I don't think they're going long enough. I think it needs to be 3 feet. Now, I think that would be a mistake the way he was describing it, but I digress. And the reason he was talking about, he was really explaining what the, I don't want to call it the new rule, but the experiment that's coming up, he was really explaining that. The reason behind that is they did surveying. I can't remember what, I don't remember if it was the World Championships or whatever, but they surveyed, I'll make up numbers here, 1,000 people that were at the meet and asked them, you know, how satisfied were you with the meet, the presentation, having fun, those kind of things, right? And out of the, again, I'm making up the number 1,000, but out of the people that responded to the survey that were at the meet, it was a very high number, 90-something percent. Again, I'm making up numbers, but you get where I'm saying. It was really high, said they really enjoyed the meet. Then they did that same survey to people who watched the meet on TV, and it was the exact opposite. Very few people said that was a good presentation. I enjoyed that. I was entertained, etc. And so they went to the long jump and they did research on the long jump. Two facts stuck out to them. One was 30+% 30, 33, about a third. Every third jump in the long jump is a foul. And that's disappointing to watch, right? Whether you're on TV, whether you're a casual fan, a hardcore fan, that's tough to watch. And then the other thing that stood out as they researched the long jump was after the first round, the people that are first, second, and third, some high number, again, I don't remember the specifics, let's call it 90% of the time, those three people were the same three people at the end. They may have changed order, but if you were in first, second, or third after the first round, high likelihood you were first, second, or third at the end of the sixth round.
Okay.
So that was kind of interesting that night. You know, I had a great time hosting all that kind of stuff. And then a week or so later, this bombshell comes out from the podcast that, hey, we're going to look at taking the long jump, basically taking the board out of it and creating a zone and allowing you to jump anywhere in the zone. And wherever you take off, that's where we'll measure you from.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So taking the board completely out of it, right? And just saying you got this area right here, you can jump anywhere in there, and we're going to measure it. Nah.
So I always have to do my CYA here, Vance.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no opinion of it. I have a small opinion. As a manufacturer of track and field equipment, if they're going to take the board completely out of it, well, that sucks for us. So I do have a little bit of opinion that way, but I don't have an opinion one way or the other, whether this is a good or a bad idea. I do have a bias of change. I love change. So I kind of, I'm in favor maybe for that reason, but I also know, you know, I've heard a lot of the complaints. Here's where the World Athletics did a terrible job, to be real. They went on the podcast, they threw this statement out, hey, we're gonna look into this, we're gonna experiment with this to see this zone, no more fouls, longest jump wins, et cetera, et cetera. And then they hit stop recording. And then what do we get to do? We go on Twitter, we're track geeks. Well, what about this? Why is that? And then, you know, this really good current long jumper, well, why in the world would they do that? And then, you know, King long jumper, Carl Lewis gets on there. That's just terrible. Because the World didn't flesh it out, we get to now hypothesize about a million things. And that's where I think the World Athletics did a major disservice.
Yeah, I think.
He's muted, so I can talk smack about this race, and he can't reply at all in January when he gets toasted. This is awesome. I'm going to take over the show because now he's having microphone problems. So I get to just fill the air here because he's on mute and we can't hear him at all. We cannot hear you, sir. I know it's your show.
I was just I know you were nervous.
No,
I know you got nervous.
So
but yeah, so man, that's just I don't.
So what issue you heard it, as you heard it described, what issues do you have with it?
It's just, I mean, how can they determine if the athletes are going to be jumping from different spots? It's not going to be the same spot. They just jumping. They jumping in the general area, right? So you telling me they just going to mark off this area here? How is it going to be the same? I just don't get it. I guess I'm just going to have to read up on it. But
so let's say they use a laser grid. Let's say they go really high tech. Maybe, I don't know. They actually already do this in our Paralympians. They put down chalk. And so when the athlete takes off, it leaves a foot imprint. And now I can tell exactly where that athlete takes off. So this is not, we've done this. The actual implementation part, I don't think is all that hard. They'll probably use some kind of laser grid at the, you know, we're talking about the World Athletics here. And so people started asking, well, you can't do that at high school. We can't afford that. And, you know, most colleges aren't going to be able to afford that. That's right. So you'll just have a human actually doing it, just like you do in every other event. We have humans involved in our sport every day. You know, there's fouls called in the shot put that a lot of people would argue, but a human is sitting there calling it. Heck, the foul of the long jump today is called by humans most of the time. So I don't think that part changes. That part doesn't scare me at all.
It's just tough, man. But I guess, you know, it's things change, you know. I mean, we can't do the same thing forever. You know, this might be better. I just have to see it. You know, I just have to see how it works, you know.
Here's what I do when I have people say, oh, it will be a different event and it's not true. It's not the pure long jump and all that stuff is true. It'll be a different event. There'll be a new world record. It won't be the world record as it stands today will be retired. And, you know, the doing it this way will not break that record. It'll be a different event. But I always turn it back to them and say, you know, when track first started in the Olympics, the long jump didn't exist. It was the standing long jump, the broad jump.
Really?
Someone had to say, hey, you know what we should do instead? We should actually be allowed to run 100 feet back, 140 feet, whatever, and jump. Mm-hmm. But let's give them a foul line. And I guarantee you there were people who said, yeah, I don't know. That's not really the event. You get to run and jump. The event is you stand and use power and jump as far as possible. I'm just going to have to see it.
Yeah.
That's always kind of my counterpunch is like, hey, things have changed. In the triple jump, they used to be allowed to hold rocks, weights in their hands. And as they're going through the triple jump phases, drop them, throw them. It would, you know, so you take a heavier mass. Now you make it lighter once you're in, I almost said in orbit, in flight, and it would make you triple jump farther. And eventually someone said, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that. We should just run and then do the triple jump. And someone said, yeah, I don't know. That's not the triple jump that I grew up with.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different event. It's like, yeah, it, you know, we have to. Here's what I ultimately think what the World Athletics is doing. I think they said this in the podcast. We've got to make track more attractive. We've got to. Now, whether this does it or not, you know, no one thing is the one thing. So it's going to take, you know, a lot of things to maybe move our sport in a different direction as far as popularity. But if this is part of the solution, then I'm all for it. We need more eyeballs and therefore more money in our sport. And, you know, doing the same thing over and over is called insanity.
And I'm good with change, you know, as long as it makes sense, you know. But if it's going to make it any worse than it already is, you know, it's why do it. But, yeah, like, I'm all for it. I just need
Maybe
I need to go out there and try it myself.
It's just like, here's the thing. This ain't rocket science. They're going to do the exact same thing, but now all those times you've seen, me and you see this on Twitter every single weekend. Oh man, my girl jumped 19 feet, but she was a foot behind the board. She's a 20 footer. And we all go, nope, she's a 18 or whatever, you know. Now we'll be able to actually know that she jumped 20 feet in that example. We'll be able to know. Yeah, that's cool. That's kind of attractive to me. That's kind of cool to see who can actually jump the farthest without having to worry about an arbitrary line that's in there.
Yeah, I Caitlin Johnson, she's a elite jumper now. So my daughter, they used to train back in the day. Well, they were younger, and me and my wife used to watch Kayla jump. I'm like, man, she's like 3 feet off, 2 feet behind the line. I said, she hit that line, she gonna be jumping out the pit.
Wouldn't it be cool to see what she did jump?
And like now she's on it, man. I think her best jump was like a 1911, 1910, somewhere around there. Yeah. So. It makes sense.
Yeah. We'll see. Again, the World Athletics, just to me, this is the real travesty of it all, is they just dropped the ball by going on this podcast, making this statement, not giving any specifics, and then just walking away and letting us all go, well, what do you mean? What about this? What about that? And, you know, you hear people saying, well, did they talk to any athletes? They should have athletes on the panel, et cetera, et cetera. Current athletes would be a disaster. There's a reason why we haven't had the heptathlon for the women move to decathlon today. And it's typically because the heptathletes today don't want to be immediately out of the market. You know, they'd have to learn a whole new event. They're the top of the heptathlon. They don't want to go to the decathlon. That's fine for 20 years from now, but not today, right? So that's a disaster. But let's not forget the name I dropped at the very beginning of this. Willie Banks, triple jump royalty, is on that committee. He's an extremely smart individual. That dude's got a Juris Doctorate. He's an intelligent UCLA alum. He is on that committee. I don't know who the others are, but they do have jumpers. They do have people with experience, Olympic experience, world record experience in these events speaking into it. So I have a lot of faith of trying things and seeing what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And for the people who watching, so my counter said we have 127 people in here right now.
Nice.
What do y'all think about this? Will it be good for the athletes? Will it be good for track and field? Y'all drop y'all comments in that section and we'll talk about it. So you went down to Nike Indoor Nationals.
I did.
You enjoy that or?
I did. You know, I travel this country for track and field meets. I've been to every major facility around, right? But I had never been to the Armory in New York. So kind of shame on me, you know? I enjoyed it. They put on an amazing show, amazing athletes. You know, what was awesome is New Balance Nationals was happening, you know, in the same time zone over in the New England states there. And there were 4,000 high school athletes at Nike Indoor Nationals, and there were 4,000 athletes at New Balance Nationals. And I just thought that was really amazing. I know a lot of people complain about why is there so many different nationals and all that. I just love that our sport is so healthy that it can withstand two huge indoor track meets at the same time, and the performances were out of this world. So great Texas athletes down there. Got to see my friend from Jump Smart Texas. He was up there doing it. It was a blast, man. It was a great facility, great performances. It was awesome.
That I heard that Armory is nice up there. I heard it was nice. It looked nice.
I thought the Armory was this kind of dungy, dark facility. Man, there is ribbon LED screens all the way across, plus a huge like from the middle, like in a basketball arena, that kind of like an LED scoreboard drop down in the middle, plus two more huge screens on both left and right. It's well lit. The track is fast. It was awesome, man. I really
nice.
Yeah, I was really, I got to give a shout out to the CEO of NSAF, Josh Rowe, who invited me up there. I'm really grateful for his invitation to kind of come up there and hang out for the day.
Hey, that's what's up. That's what's up. I'm about to get out there and take a look at that armory, because I, every time I see it, man, I'm just like, man, that is really nice. And the New Balance. Yeah. The New Balance track is, have you been out? I know you've been out there, right?
Yeah, I did that track. So I've been out there several times. It's an amazing, you know, they designed it really well. They've got a huge separate warm-up area, 300-meter track on the third floor for warm-up. So you don't have to warm up on the actual track, you know, as far as, you know, running track meets and things like that. Awesome throws area. They did a great job. New Balance, forgetting the owner of New Balance. He had a vision, and man, they carried it out. He did a great job.
Oh, nice.
John Davis, Jim Davis, John Davis. Yeah.
Jim John Davis.
Yeah. I'm sure Mr. Davis is the actual.
We'll go with that. Guys, on IG, we get some questions in, but I can't pull it up right now. If y'all would, y'all can go to X and put it there, or go to YouTube or Facebook. Then I should get it. There you go. Yeah, Mike, I see you there. Thanks to people on IG that's asking some questions. But yeah, that's what's up. So indoor season is done. What are your trips for outdoor? You going to watch some high school? You going to go to Junior Olympics? You going to go to, well, you got them state meets coming up. What's your plan?
Yeah, right now I am going to the Penn Relays for that week.
Oh, wow.
They're building a new indoor facility there that we have been humbled that they've chosen us to do. So I'm going to go and do kind of a check-in on the new facility, see that everything's going well. And then, of course, the meet, which is, you know, it's just phenomenal. It's kind of like that New Balance Nike combo on the same weekend. It's really amazing that our sport has two of the biggest, my favorite meet in the world. You know, I grew up a Drake Relays guy, but Drake and Penn are on the same weekend. Unbelievable performances are going to happen at both places. I wish I could clone myself so I could go to both. But I'll be going to Penn. My teammate Tim will be going over to Drake. Definitely doing Penn, doing the Big 12 championships. They're down in Baylor.
Ooh, hey, Baylor got that new track down there.
They did a good job.
Resurfaced that track down there. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be a good meet, fast meet down there.
They had a pretty good NCAA. They got, you know, don't sleep that you know, the 400 is dead at Baylor, because that is not true.
Oh no.
Yeah, we had a great Baylor 4x4 series to kick off season 5. We had Mike Ford, the current head coach. We had Jeremy Warner. I don't need to describe who he is, right? our CEO, David Hodge, who's a Baylor alum. And then we ended it with an instant classic. Clyde Hart was on the show as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
so excited about Big 12. I'll do Division 3 this year out at Myrtle Beach, and then Division 1 in Oregon, and then Nike Outdoor Nationals, where I'll be the host of the Coaches Social all 4 days.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's big. I had a chance to go to Oregon last year for USA TF mm-hmm. Junior Olympics.
Yeah.
Man, that place there blew my
mind. Pretty nice, huh?
It looks like a spaceship landed now. It is. Guys, if y'all haven't been to Oregon, to the stadium, you know, to the track in Oregon, it's, man, get there. I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
I know people complain about traveling out there, and yes, it's expensive. It's a college town, but, you know, heck, the track meets bring in more people than sometimes the football games, right? But it's worth it. I mean, there is no facility, and, you know, this is not putting down Mike Meyer. That's an amazing stadium. Florida's got a great place. Penn and Drake, like we mentioned, of course. Heck, Indiana has a really – it's kind of people kind of forget about Indiana's track. That's an amazing facility. The Oregon facility is not the top track facility in this country. It's the top track facility in this whole world. It is it was a bear to complete, because, you know, we worked on it all the way before COVID, and then right as COVID hits, there were a lot of complications. But, man – they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, that man. Me and my wife still talking about that place.
Are you coming out this year for maybe Nike Outdoor?
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's the plan.
We'll see. We definitely been talking about it. She's not going to run so much this summer, but that's one of the spots we're thinking about going to.
If you're there, can you and I cohabitate in the same city before our big January matchup? We
could just go to track and try to, you know, if you want to get a little taste, we can just walk down there for a little bit and we can do about a 20 meters sprint.
I need all 9 months or whatever it is until next year. I need all the time. So no, we may do the sprint to box it. We may get that picture in, but no, there won't be any racing. No.
Hey, don't try to bag out of the race.
All right, backing out.
Don't try to bag out.
I need a lot of preparation. That's what I'm saying. If you'd have said, hey, the race is today, I'd have been like, nah, bro, I ain't taking that race. You said January, I was like, I got a shot in January.
So you got to get mentally prepared about 3 months, then go and take a train.
Mentally, physically, a lot of prayer between now and then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that is funny. That is funny. Oh, let me ask you this. I like this question. I asked this question at the TTFC Winter Clinic as well. If you had to create a relay team full of animals, what animals would you pick? So you're going to pick your team and I'm going to pick my team.
You know, I thought you were going to say of like any athletes in the world. I'm like, man, I don't pay attention to athletes. I pay attention to coaches. So I was already prepared to give like the best relay coach answer is what I was going to give. But you said animals.
Animals. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Animals. Who you got on first, Mike? Who you got on first?
So we're going to go leg by leg. All right. So golly, man, you know, you need someone that's going to come out the blocks, spring out the blocks, right? Do I get to change the size of each animal, or is it realistic animal size?
You can change the size, whatever you want, to put on there.
All right. Whatever. I'm going to go with a human-sized grasshopper.
Oh, first leg?
Oh, yeah. It goes spring out the blocks.
But he got the what are you gonna do after he spring out the blocks? I
think if the grasshopper was human size, it will only take one hop for my second to get to my second leg.
Oh, we beating y'all. Go ahead. You go ahead and put that grasshopper there. Y'all already down.
Who you got on the first leg?
I'm gonna go with a falcon on the first leg. I'm coming in hot.
That's a good one.
But go ahead and keep your grasshopper.
Second leg. I always like to put my fastest guy on two. By the way, it's a human-sized grasshopper. I think that's critical that we know that this is not a little teeny tiny grasshopper. This is a, you know, really big grasshopper. I think that's key. On second leg, I like to go with my fastest. Yeah, you didn't see the grasshopper coming. I know. We're going cheetah for the second leg.
Okay, so you make up some ground.
Yeah. So it goes from ground. I'm running the lead.
Not with that grasshopper, buddy. You ain't the lead. Not at all. you gonna work the cheetah? You gonna kill it?
Long leg.
Behind by 50 meters already because of the grasshopper. Let's see what I want. I'm gonna put me a cheetah on that second leg.
Cheetah versus cheetah. All right.
Cheetah.
Okay. All right.
So we neck and neck now going to third leg.
Oh, good. Okay. So I caught up. Good. You got the slow cheetah. So I got good. Okay. Good. All right. You said falcon. I'm gonna be more specific.
Okay.
I like that answer. I think you were cheating. You were kind of already. You had these answers queued up. So I did.
I took it from some of my coaches from the clip.
So I'm going to go with, I think it's pronounced like a Paragon Falcon or Paragon. It's the world's fastest. Yeah, it's the one that like just dive bombs, you know, 200 miles per hour.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I'm putting him on third because, you know, with the wing, he's going to be able to easily glide the turn.
Okay. That's a good one. Let me go with a rabbit on third. Mm. I'm going with a rabbit.
Go ahead. That's appropriate because there's a famous story. You guys probably don't tell this down in Texas, but where I'm from, we tell the story of the tortoise and the hare. And the tortoise wins. And I think that's going to be what happens in January as well, my friend. It's appropriate that you picked him. Appropriate. I think you just kind of foretold the future.
Mike, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to need some of those Gill starting blocks out there.
Those starting blocks are the best starting blocks in the world, but they do not perform miracles.
You own one today, Mike. You own one.
I've got the perfect anchor. I'm ready for the anchor. Are you ready for the anchor? I've got the perfect anchor.
All right. So I got the jackrabbit, and you have the what was that? The foul
paragon or paragon? I don't know how. Yeah.
All right. So you're going to be ahead of me a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm about to bring it all the way home. I'm taking the Usain Bolt of animals. You ready for this?
Go.
Ostrich.
That's a good one,
bro. They're fast. And he's got that big long neck. He's got the lean.
Okay. I'm going to go with a giraffe then.
Ooh, yeah. But kind of slow. I don't think they're that fast.
But their neck is.
You know, as soon as we get done tonight, I'm Googling the speed, the highest speed of each one of these. And we're going to put it out on Twitter.
Yeah.
This mythical 4x1. This is truly a mythical 4x1.
It is. Yeah. But yeah, definitely let me know. So I'm going to ask you this, Mike. Let me ask you this. Are you faster than Texas track dad?
You know, I have been looking for a purpose in life for a long time. And today I found it. I am ever since, you know, 12-ish hours ago, I have now been singularly focused on beating one person. And thank God you chose 60 meters, not the full 100, by the way. Thank you for that.
That would have been bad.
I appreciate that.
That would have been bad.
But I'm looking forward to, one, being there at TTFCA. I didn't get to make it this year. My wife made me take her on vacation, so I couldn't make it. So I'm looking to go back. I believe Stu's going to allow me to humble me and allow me to be the host and MC for the weekend, which it's amazing because I love the coaches that are there. They're unbelievable. So I get to have a good time there. We're going to have a race. We're going to do this race for charity. We're going to have fun with this. You will somehow figure out how to have fun in the defeat, but I think you'll find a way to still have fun.
I tell you what, I'm already going to donate that $100 to a track team, charity or whatever. Also, I'm going to throw in one of my icy buddies to go with that donation, man, to a track club or whatever. So I have that out there, and I might even have a Icy Breeze air conditioned cooler too to go with it.
Love it.
Mike.
Who was your first leg again? I'm going to research this.
Falcon. We had a Falcon.
The Falcon was number one. Okay.
Falcon was number one. Cheetah.
Yeah, cheetah, jackrabbit, giraffe.
Oh, I'm winning that, Mike.
I got a human-sized giraffe. Again, that's key. I'm sorry, grasshopper. Grasshopper.
Which doesn't exist at all.
I asked you the rules, and you said that was okay. Cheetah, the peregrine falcon specifically, and an ostrich. Sometime this weekend, I'm going to research this, and I have a feeling.
Let me know. But yeah, this is hey guys, this has been a great show. We got like 130 people, 33 people. This just the only ones I can see is more than that on the show right now. And man, this is awesome. Once again, Mike, go ahead and shout out your podcast, where they can find your podcast. If they want to be a guest, what they need to do, go ahead and shout that out too as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Guild Connections podcast, you can find it on whatever podcast app you like to use. So the two most popular currently to listen to our podcast is the Apple Podcast app, which is on every iPhone that's ever been built. And then also Spotify, which is downloadable. And probably a lot of you guys maybe listen to your music on Spotify. You can listen to podcasts there. If you're not a podcast listener and you want to know how and learn how to listen to podcasts, just hit me up on Twitter. I love, you know, helping people find their voice in the form of podcasting. And so there's a lot of great shows and informational stuff you can listen to on podcasts. They're amazing, quite amazing. To be on the show, you have to be either invited by me personally or you have to be nominated. And we can't skip over. You had a nomination. I need to hear
from you. Oh, yeah. Keenan Briggs.
I know this name. Yeah,
he's a jump coach, and I will send you his IG and his
I think we're following each other on Twitter. That name sounds very familiar. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and man, he phenomenal coach. You love him. I tag you on all this stuff, and I send it to you.
Love it.
But that's my recommendation.
Good.
As well. How can they follow you on IG and Twitter?
Yeah, I'm mostly active on Twitter, so it's real easy. It's at Mike Cunningham, all one word, no dots, dashes, all that kind of thing. So at Mike Cunningham. Over on Instagram, I do follow and I post every once in a while there, but again, certainly way more active on Twitter. But on Instagram, it's at Mike Cunningham 1976. Some other joker stole my name, so I had to do the real. I don't know why people do this. I had to give you my birth year. So that's why.
My email is like that.
Yeah, I don't know why we do that, but yeah, there it was. I guess you wouldn't know how old I was. Me up on IG, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But definitely Twitter, and my DMs are always open. And I'm really not that shy. You could Google Mike Cunningham Gill Athletics cell phone number, and my cell phone number pops up on Google. So text me, DM me, smoke signals, just get a hold of me if there's ever anything I can do to serve you. And really, my passion, my life is to gas you up, man. If you're a track coach out there, I can't overstate what you do. The positive impact that you make on young people, it's immeasurable. 99.9% of all the coaches, this is high school or college coaches, by the way, are not going pro in this sport. It's too tough at this point, right? But 100% of them are going on to be moms, dads, business owners, clergy, track coaches, teachers, etc. And that impact that you make on these young people, that is what that goes out into society. So you're actually helping society way more than you're given credit for. And so it's my mission to uplift and honor what you do, how you do it on a daily basis, because you absolutely deserve the accolades, the kudos, and everything that comes along.
Hey, Mike, you on to something. You hit it. You hit it on the head with actually, that.
It's in the heart. It's in the heart.
Yeah, you, parents, you need to tell your kids, ask your kids more about what they want to do, who they want to be in life, right? You running fast, you winning medals, but when that's done, what do you want to do? I'm not saying they can't go pro, I'm not saying that, but it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It is what it is. It's tough, you know? But you need to make sure they know it's a lot more out there. You can be successful doing some more stuff other than track, but track would definitely get you that free scholarship.
That's right.
Where you can go to school free.
Use it.
Hey, do it, you know? And, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't want to get on my soapbox about that, but that's a big deal. That's why I always preach on this show about academics. You know, when athletes come on here, and a lot of them already watch my show before they come. They know I'm going to ask them. They give me excellent answers, right? They give me excellent, and I just want to get them to thinking, you know. You're going to run fast. You're going to have fun. But, you got another life, too. You need to make sure you take care of that.
That's right.
To prepare yourself for the future, for sure. Mike. Oh, yeah, as far as coaching, too, then we're going to get out of here, guys.
Yeah.
Man, I just want to say I appreciate the coaches who took time with my daughter and helped make her what she is today. Because, hey, I tried to coach her when she was little, and she wouldn't listen to me, Mike. She told me, hey, you ain't run up but 40 yards in football. How you going to tell us?
She was like, one day in 2025, you're going to lose to some other dude, and it's going to be embarrassing, so you ain't coaching me today. I know. She could see the future. Oh,
but what you don't know, Mike, is she's my trainer, Mike. Mm. She's my trainer.
She'll be in college, sir, so you better find another trainer.
Well, we're going to put this to work before she go, though. We're going to put this to work. But shout out all, to all the coaches. Make sure y'all go follow. Mike, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, man. Just love you guys to death. I love what you're doing, man. You know, you talked about the athletes that you're interviewing. It's a real key thing that you're doing with these athletes and the other, you know, you've got coaches and such on here as well. You know, you're preserving for the future. You know, we're cataloging what's happening today so that in 2030, 2040, 2050, we can go back. Think about it. Wouldn't you like to have seen more pictures from when you were a kid, or even more appropriate? Wouldn't you like to have seen pictures and video about your parents, what they were doing, how they were doing, their passions and things like that? And we didn't have that technology back then. Today we do. And so for people like you that are doing this, you're cataloging stuff that is going to be invaluable, worth more than gold in the future. So I appreciate what you do. I'm glad you continue to stick with it at a very high level. You continue to improve your craft. I'm so grateful for you and what you do for our sport, man. Thank you for what you do.
I appreciate it. Like I said, I tell people all the time. I mean, I enjoy doing it.
Good.
And I enjoy doing it. I enjoy talking to you, talking to the athletes, parents, trainers, everybody involved in track. It's fun to me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. Man, we like at 147 right now.
It's awesome, man. Let's do this again.
Yeah, we are. We are. But hey, guys, go follow Mike. You follow him on IG, follow him on Twitter. Go check out his podcast. Do what you need to do if you want, if interested in getting the show. He gave you all that information as well. You can follow me on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter, X, LinkedIn, any social media platform. You can follow me on. And if you don't see me on there, let me know so I can get on there. So this is going to be the final goodbye. Make sure y'all stay tuned. Mike is going to take a loss in his 60 meters. He's at trying to act like he don't know what's going on, but he's going to lose, guys. He's going to lose. But thanks again, guys. We are out.